Praise God. Psalm 51 in verse 10 tonight. Psalm 51 in verse 10. Praise God. We are going to be having Wednesday night service. That, I think that'll kind of get everything in perspective. Praise God. We can have fun and play with our games and all of our toys and our presents, and we can drive around in our red Corvettes, and we can just have a good time. But you know what? We always need to come back. We got to come back and get centered. Amen. What it's all about. Praise God. Psalm 51 and verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Praise God. This is a psalm. Psalm chapter 51 is a psalm of repentance after David had committed adultery and then committed murder. And he wrote down his repentance before God. It's really quite the chapter in the book of Psalm. But one thing that just stuck out to me here is he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. There's a pivotal point right there. There is something that will take us a long, long way if we can get that in our hearts tonight and live it out. Praise God. I just want to preach a little bit. He said create. Everybody said create. Create. Just want to preach a little bit tonight. God's still the creator. God is still the creator, and I hope that I can say it in a way that you will see it the right way. Amen. God didn't finish. Yes, he finished the physical world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day, but God still creates. Amen. He is the creator. Lord, we thank you for the word of God tonight. We ask you to anoint it to our hearts. Speak to us. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I really don't plan to preach a long time tonight, but let's look at this here for just a little bit. You know, there's absolutely no doubt to the open-minded person that God was the creator of all things. Amen. And the Bible says that nothing was created outside of him. He created everything. Everything was created by him, and everything was created for him. Amen. And if you look at the DNA of the human body, not just the DNA of the human body, but the DNA of any living thing upon this earth, everything has a DNA to it. And it is so complex, and it is so intricate. Amen. That if you stretched out the strings, the DNA is a coil of information, of amino acids that are connected together, and they form the DNA. Stretched out, just the DNA itself stretched out is about 7 feet long or 6 feet long, somewhere in that line. And there is a DNA in every single cell of your body. Praise God. It is so very small that it is measured in nanometers, which is nanometers would be a nano would be one atom, amen. And they measure it that way. It is said, I don't know how true it is, but I did a little bit of reading on this. And if you were to take every atom that is contained in just the DNA of your little finger, the very tip of your little finger, that stretched side by side would go around the Milky Way galaxy twice. Amen. And that's just one example of what God created. That's why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Amen. To put together something so intricate and so complex by happen chance is an absolute impossibility. Amen. It is the wishful thinking of a guilty conscience that says there is no God. Amen. There is a God, and he's here tonight. I felt his presence here tonight. And if you say, in your heart, I can't see it, that doesn't mean that it's not there. But what God has done is He has given us the ability. That's why we're here tonight. He has given us the ability to sense His presence and to know that He is real. Some of you that came and prayed in the altar already tonight, amen, you felt the Lord, amen, and it stirred your heart. And I believe tonight that since there is a God and God has established these laws of the universe, somebody said one time, if there is no God, the laws of the universe, who made the laws of the universe? And scientists will tell you, well, we don't know. Amen. And if there is matter, where did the matter come from? And they have to scratch their head and say, we don't know. Amen. But God established the laws of the universe that really hold everything together. And it makes sense that God would establish moral absolutes. Amen. It makes sense that God would put it all together for a purpose and for a reason. Amen. It wasn't happen chance. It wasn't to show off His wisdom. But there is a master plan behind everything. And people today are ascribing something called subjective moralism. Amen. Or in another way, you could call it situational ethics. And what that simply means is that whatever you feel that is right, it's right. Whatever you feel is wrong, is wrong. And we may be an exact opposite of each other, but you can be right and I can be right. That's a very scary thing. Adolf Hitler believed that. Stalin believed that. Lenin believed that. And we see multiple hundreds of millions of people that have starved to death or been killed because of that idea. Amen. Morals are not subjective to how we feel. Somebody said amen. They are not subjective by what others are doing around us. We're living in a day today in which everybody's doing it, and so it's okay. But that doesn't mean that it's okay. What we have to do is check in with God. Amen. What we have to do is say, God, how do you feel about this? And we're going to align ourselves with the great master plan that you put together. Amen. And the problem that has faced mankind from the very beginning is the condition of the heart. Amen. Jeremiah 17 and 7, and actually down a few verses, I'll just get right to the verse. I believe it's verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Amen. And so we see then that the Lord knows our frame, and He knows, the Bible says, that we are but dust. Amen. We came from the dust, and we're going to return to the dust. And God literally sees the condition that we face within ourselves. Amen. He really knows where you're at. Amen. And He knows that we need a Redeemer. He knows that we need a Creator. Amen. He knows these things very well. But the more pressing question tonight, I suppose, is the question, amen, do we know that we need a Creator? Praise God. The Lord knows that we need a Creator, but do we know that we need a Creator? Amen. For everything to exist in this world, there had to be a Creator with a master plan, a super mind, amen, a infinite mind that has more knowledge than we would ever attain to. But if we begin to break it down, we can see parts. We can't really understand the whole, but we can see parts, amen. When you look at the splendor of the creation of God, for me at least, it's truly thrilling. I get razzed every now and then about looking at the stars. I like to look at the stars. And, he likes to look at the stars. I make comments about how the clouds look and different things that are going on. Just here a day or two ago, we had a meteor shower, and there was a an eclipse, I believe, between Saturn and Mars. Not going to happen for almost another 100 years. And we just kind of go along our way, but the heavens are operating under the laws of God, and they're doing what God wanted them to do. And the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. All the stars are praising God. Amen. They're rejoicing. They're preaching a message every night, the Bible says. And they preach it in every language that's on the face of the earth. There is no language nor speech that is not known to them. Praise God. But then we have this little situation called mankind. Amen. And at one point in time, God said, I'm really sorry that I even made man, because his heart is corrupt from his youth. And so he destroyed the world with a flood. But still, the beauty and the splendor of God from our vantage point here, the Rocky Mountains. I love the Rocky Mountains. They're so awesome and so beautiful. Amen. To the Pacific Ocean, and I've been to the Pacific Ocean. To the Gulf of Mexico, I've been there. To the Atlantic Ocean, amen. I've seen the great whales and the clear blue waters of the Atlantic, the cold blue waters of the Atlantic Sea. Amen. We was able to go on a whale watch the last time we were in Massachusetts, and we got to see a humpback whale that actually was feeding right beside the ship that we were on. It was so awesome. And the lady said, oh, here comes a bubble ring. And those great whales, they suck in the water. They suck in the air, and then they go in a circle underneath the water down low, and they blow bubbles, and the bubbles come up and form a wall, and then they come up in the middle of that wall, and they open their big mouth, and the big mouth is probably from here to Gavin in diameter, and they suck in about 500 gallons of water. And when they do, they suck in all of the fish that's inside that wall. And then through their teeth, they kind of squirt the water out so the fish stays in their mouth, and they eat it. Amen. And I asked, where do they get water? It's salt water. Do they drink the water? And he said, no, they don't get it from that. They get it from the fish that they eat. And each whale eating some 2,000 pounds of fish per day. Praise God. And you tell me that that just happened by chance? I'm telling you, it did not happen by chance. It shows the handiwork of God. Somebody said amen. Amen. I love to travel and see new sights because it's breathtaking. Really, to me, it is breathtaking to see something so beautiful that came from nothing. Amen. And was brought into existence by the simple word of God. Amen. Let there be, and there it was. And we can go back to Genesis chapter 1. You don't have to turn there, but it said, God said, let there be light. Somebody said that with me. Let there be light. Mm-hmm. And we just take it for granted, don't we? Every day the sun comes up. Every day the sun comes down and we have light. We just take it for granted. We flip the switches of the church and the light comes on. Amen. And it's produced by electrical current. But where did the light come from? It came from God. And so we can see some things in the creation of God that gives us a little bit of an indication of God himself. Amen. And the need for us to get a hold of God as much as we can, as much as we can comprehend, and we can know him a little bit better. Praise God. Let there be light. And so when God made the light, God made it in different aspects. Amen. And I'm not going to bore you here tonight, those of you that don't like science and all that. Just let it go for a little bit. There'll be another day. Praise God. But there are three different colors in the light spectrum, the three main colors. And those are red, blue, and yellow. Amen. And every other color comes out of the combinations of red, blue, and yellow. You could ask Brother Reed about this. He's very good at spotting colors, working at Sherwin-Williams. Amen. and they claim they're going to cover the world with paint. But I'll tell you what, God already did that when he said, let there be light. And he covered everything with colors. Amen. And the colors are very intricate. I've done a little bit of reading on this. And the color blue was formed with a wavelength of nanometers of 450 to 495. Now, what that simply means is that a wavelength, if you have sound, sound goes in a wavelength like this. And if it's high and real close together, that's a higher pitch. If it is low and like that, it is a lower sound. That's why bass guitars, you can pluck the big string on a bass guitar and you can almost see it vibrating back and forth. The lights that are here, you don't really notice this, but they are pulsing tonight at 60 hertz, meaning that they go off and on 60 times every second. And there is a wavelength that goes with that. So the color blue has a wavelength of 750 to 590 nanometers, which means if you take 570 atoms and you put them side by side, that's how wide the wavelength is for the electromagnetic resonance of the color blue. And not only that, the color blue comes from a hertz or a pulsing. Amen. And it is 606 to 668 terahertz. Amen. Terahertz. And those of you that have computers, you know what megahertz is. It's a million per second. And fast computers, we have a storage of megabytes or millions of bytes of information can be passed through that computer every second. Amen. But a terahertz or a terabyte is a billion. Amen. A billion times per second. And the color blue is 606 to 668 terahertz. Yellow has a nanometer of 570 to 590. Now, don't fall asleep here tonight. And a 508 to 526 terahertz. Red is 620 to 750, and it has a terahertz of 400 to 484. And combined together with the other four light wavelengths and frequencies, when you bind these frequencies together, when you put them together, they form white light. That's where white comes from. It's all the different wavelengths and terahertz of the different colors that form wavelengths and frequencies. And so I began to think about this, and I thought, well, what is the frequency of white light? Scientists don't know what the frequency of white light is. They have not figured it out. Amen. And yet they can figure out the components of it. They know which this part and that part and all of that, how it works. Yet they don't know when you combine them together how it becomes what it is. Praise God. I'll tell you what, God's an awesome God tonight. And I began to look at this, I thought, well, we saw it here tonight. We've got a bass guitar up here. Does anybody play this bass guitar? Does anybody know anything about music? Can you hear that? Anybody hear that? All right, that's a wavelength. That's pulsing at a certain speed because of the tension of the string, and it's creating a wavelength, and that wavelength makes a sound. And so as I began to think about it, I thought to myself, this just came to me, and I found out there's a whole big subject on this. I began to think, what is the sound of color? Praise God. Because color has a wavelength. And so what is the sound of color? And what is the color of sound? Praise God. Now, I know I've already bored you all together here tonight. Amen. What is the color of sound, and what is the sound of color? Praise God, because they have frequencies together. and discovered that there are approximately 1 in 25 people on the face of the earth, they have a condition, and it's not a condition, it's actually a perception, and it's called synesthesia, where they have the ability to combine these things together, and when they are playing a musical instrument, they can actually see light in different colors based upon the frequencies of that. And I thought, wow, why didn't God make me that way? That would be so very awesome. Praise the Lord. And when they see colors, there is a musical note that goes along with that color. Praise God. And I'm just saying that tonight to bring out some things about the Lord. I began to look in the Scripture about what God is. It's a great study if you just type into your computer, God is. And there is a number of places, but basically I found seven places where it says that God is. And you can change these around if you want to. But I found three main ones and then four sub ones, if you please. And I believe that we can understand these a little bit. And we can kind of try to piece together what God is and what He wants to do in our life. Praise the Lord. You know, without light, without that electromagnetic radiation, we would all pass away. If there was no light, there would be no life in this world. And we need that light to have life. And the Bible says here in Deuteronomy 6 and 4, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. So first of all, we establish there is only one God. Well, praise the Lord. And everything emanates from Him. 1 John 4 and 8, for God is love. Amen. John 4 and 24, God is a spirit. Praise God. And so I look at that. God is one. God is a spirit. And God is love. Amen. And so when we look at that, we can see, at least I see in that, the three main colors, if you please, of God's presence. Amen. They become the essence of what God is. Amen. I believe that if we're really going to have the faith that we need to have, we need to understand what God is. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is. God is love. God is a spirit. God is one Lord. Amen. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. So the love of God establishes morals. Amen. The love of God establishes these things. The fact that there is one God establishes that God has the right to establish morals in our life. And what is clean and what is unclean. 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 9, God is gracious and merciful. Amen. And we see that also emanates from God who is love. Amen. He is gracious and He is merciful. Aren't you glad that God's gracious and merciful tonight? Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, but God is faithful. And so from the fact that there is only one God and that God is love, amen, we can see that God is a faithful God tonight. Hebrews 12 and verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. And it goes back to His nature. God is a spirit and God is one. And so we can see all of the seven of the attributes of God. And then it says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, for God is light. And so when we understand, we can look at these things and we can examine each and every one of them. And really, when you look at God, there is only one God. The Lord our God is one Lord. You're not going to get to the depth of that, but you can hold up a little finger, amen, and say there's only one God. We can comprehend that, but we cannot comprehend. We can comprehend one, but we really can't comprehend God. Amen. Never had a beginning, never's going to have an ending. It blows your mind when you think about God. And so we have an understanding here tonight. Isn't it amazing that there are those that think there are three gods or multiple gods in the Godhead? I'm glad tonight there's only one God. And the Scripture bears that out. That's the greatest commandment in the Scriptures. And so it's at the top of the list. Amen. For God is love. We can understand love. Amen. We can understand loving others, those that are close to you, that you love. Amen. That you are connected to. We can understand a little bit of love, but when you begin to measure it and you begin to look at it in relationship to our great God here tonight, the love of God is really not comprehensible. Amen. We don't really understand how much God really loves us. But we can understand it a little bit in our human understanding. Amen. God is a spirit. Praise the Lord. God is invisible. He is the invisible God, the Scripture says. And we can understand invisible things. Amen. We feel the wind. You can go like this on your face and you can feel the oxygen and the atmosphere that we're in here tonight. But you can't see it. Amen. You can't see it, but you know that it's there. And it's comprehensible to a point, but then it goes beyond that. Amen. And we have to say we're still researching that, and we're still trying to figure that one out. Amen. And you go on down. God is holy. We can see that, and we understand what is holy. I believe we do. I believe we all, every person, every atheist, every person in this world understands what is right and what is wrong. The atheist will get upset if you lie to him. The atheist will get upset if you steal from him. Why? Because he has a sense of moral absolutes. And if there is a moral absolute, where did it come from? Amen. I'll tell you, it came from a holy God that said, thou shalt not steal, praise God, and set it down as a law for us to understand the difference between holy and unholy. But we really don't understand what it's like to be God and to be holy within yourself, so holy that everything that you touch becomes holy, and you cannot become dirty in any manner or aspect. Amen. You are God, you always have been, and you always will be. I know these are high things here tonight. They're high things for me to consider and to understand. But God has given us a little bit so that we can see this. Amen. 1 John 1 and 5, get it for me. Praise the Lord. Read, Brother Reed.
This then is the message which we have heard of him.
I heard of him.
Declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness.
In him is no darkness at all. I quoted that scripture, just a little bit of it, but there's no darkness in God. And so there is darkness and there is light. I begin to look at that color situation. I won't bore you with any more of that, but I begin to look at it, and they said, what is the wavelength of black? Amen. And black is the absence of all colors. And the wavelength of black is zero. Amen. Which simply means there is no opportunity to see anything. There is no movement. There is no sound. There is no light. It has a resonance of zero. And oh, it made me tremble when I saw that one, because the Bible says that there are those that will be cast out into outer darkness. Amen. Where there is no sound and there is no light, and it will be darkness for all of eternity. Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, there is no darkness in God. There is nothing about him that is bad or evil, and he cannot be tempted with evil because he is holy. Well, somebody said, praise the Lord. gracious and merciful, faithful. Amen. Oh, we serve an awesome God tonight. We can understand what faithfulness is. Praise the Lord. If you're working on a job, you understand what faithfulness is all about. In a very limited way, we understand what faithfulness is, but we really don't understand nor comprehend the magnitude of faithfulness of God. Amen. That God has been faithful to us. God was moving in your life, and He was gracious and merciful. When you didn't know God, when you were far, far away from God, God was gracious and merciful to you, and God was faithful. We don't understand that, but that's the way it is with God. And He is a consuming fire. Praise the Lord. But we can understand all of these, and when we put it all together, amen, we have 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, God is light. Amen. And the light that God is, the Bible says in places where the light shone from heaven, it was brighter than the noonday sun. When Jesus was transfigured before His disciples, the white light came out from God, and it was the emanation of His character and His nature. Amen. And the things that He is combined together produce the white light that is the life of God that comes to you and I. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth rejoices at His name. Angels bow before Him. Praise God. What a mighty God we serve tonight. And this mighty God is still creating things. Amen. If He can create the intricacies, I've said all of that to get to this point, that if God created, and He did, all of the intricacies of the universe and of the human body and of the things that we have around us, seen and unseen, I'm telling you tonight, God is able to create in you and me a clean heart. Amen. Praise God. And I can go into so much of this here tonight, but I don't want anybody falling asleep and falling out the window. The Bible talks about measurements here, and it talks about the height and the breadth and the depth. Amen. It talks about measuring things so that we can have a better understanding of it. Amen. There is the height of God's kingdom. There is the depth of God's kingdom. There is the width of God's kingdom. It is measurable to a degree. Amen. We can look at living for God. The height, amen, the spiritual, praise God. The depth, amen, our relationship between us and God. And the width, our relationship with one another, praise God. The three basic things that comprise and compose everything in the universe. Did you know that a line is an impossibility? You can't make a line because it will always have a little bit of height and a little bit of width. Everything in the physical world has height, depth, and width to it. Everything. Amen. And it is the same way in the spiritual realm with God. There is a height, there is a depth, and there is a breadth. Praise God. But it's up to us to study and to learn and to meditate on these things. Amen. So that we can get a better comprehension of what got a hold of us at an altar one day. Amen. And so David sinned here. And one of the things that he wrote was, create in me a clean heart. Everybody said a clean heart. And so he goes on. And there are three things that he brought out, three things that will produce a clean heart. Three different aspects, amen. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these. You can go and study it out for yourself. But there are three areas, just like there are three areas, three main colors in the color spectrum, amen. Three main areas to where you can have God create in you a clean white heart. Amen. And that's what I want. I want a clean white heart. Jeremiah said, this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel. I'm going to put my laws in their inward part and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Praise God. And so David said, create in me a clean heart. I've never committed adultery. I've never committed murder, but David did. And I've tried over the years to comprehend how David felt. Amen. In one place he said, my sin is ever before me. The Bible says, he that committeth adultery is lacking understanding. Amen. In another, and it goes on and says, there will be a hurt that will not be taken away. Praise God. And David did that. Amen. And the Bible talks about it. One of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. In other words, it says, do not murder. Do not kill someone for gain or whatever it is. And David did those things. He did those things. I can only imagine the shame that he felt in his heart. I wonder how David got back to the place where God was able to say of him at one point in time that David did everything right except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Amen. Everything else is right, and David is still considered one of the greatest men in the Scriptures. Praise God. And you read about it. God said, I'm going to do it for the sure mercies of David. I'm going to do it because of the sure mercies of David. Amen. Because of what I promised to David. And God goes back to David. There was an impression that he made upon God because there was something in the heart of this man. And folks, everything emanates out of our heart. Praise God. Everything that we are, what we say and what we do, emanates from our heart. Praise God. It is our resonance, if you please. It is the wavelength of our spiritual man. Praise God. It is the frequency. Amen. The sound that we make, it comes from our heart. Praise God. And what David was a man whose heart was after God's heart. I want to beat with God. Amen. Like Brother Solis said, God, take my drum and you make the beat of my life. Praise God. I want to resonate with God. I don't want to be out of tune with God, but I want to be in tune with God so that we can make beautiful harmony and melody together. Praise God. And the only way that we can do that is if we have a clean heart. Somebody said a clean heart. And he said, here's how I'm going to do it. I've got to have a right spirit. Praise God. I've got to have a right spirit. And so a right spirit, he said, and restore unto me. Amen. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Everybody said joy of salvation. The joy of salvation. So when we have a right spirit, amen, a spirit that God defines in his word, when it resonates, amen, when the wavelengths are the same as God's wavelength, I want to have the right spirit. Praise God. I want to have a right spirit. I want to look at others the way God looks at them. You know what? The Bible says that God died. He came and died for his enemies. We can't understand that. We can study it out. We can look at it. And we can look at the love of God, but I'm telling you, we cannot totally, completely understand it. Amen. But we must forgive. We cannot have a clean heart if we don't forgive. Now, don't get quiet tonight. I'm not going to be harping at you here tonight. This is Christmas season. But this is why he came. He came to give us a clean heart. He came to do something inside of us, and it takes a right spirit. That's frequency number one. And then he puts the joy of salvation. Praise God. I kind of view sin as a low, long line of frequency. But when the joy of salvation comes, all of a sudden, everything starts jumping up and down like this. Praise God. And the sounds that come out are beautiful sounds, high-pitched, exciting sounds. Amen. The lower sounds have a tendency to bring about a low feeling in your heart. And that's by design of God. The music that comes with a higher pitch and a higher sound and a faster beat, amen, those have a tendency of exciting our spirit, amen, of exciting us. You know what sin is? Sin is that low frequency, amen, that causes us to go down. And we see the darkness and we experience the darkness. If you look at it that way, the frequency, if it goes any lower, it's going to be a straight line. Amen. And when you're looking at a monitor, when the line is straight, the person has died. Amen. When you look at a spiritual person and the line of the frequency of their service to God and their worship to God and their love for God is a straight line, amen, I'm telling you tonight, they're dead. Praise God. But we cannot afford to do that. I want the frequency of my life to be exciting. Praise God. Filled with faith, filled with joy. Are you filled with joy tonight? Amen. Well, the only place I know to have joy, certainly it's not in this world, and certainly it's not in other people. Amen. But it is in the one who can produce joy in my heart. And he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now I'll tell you, when the Holy Ghost comes, the lines really start jumping up and down. Not like where we are right now, praise God. But I've come to understand that even in services that are not high, high church, amen, if you'll just seek his presence. I felt his presence already here tonight. And that's not a cliche, that's a fact. I felt the presence of God. And I don't know about you, but when I feel God, something inside me just lifts up. Amen. Praise God. There's hope. Amen. There's peace. There's joy. Everything that God is. Well, how does that work? I don't know how it works. I don't understand what this white light is all about. I can't comprehend all of the aspects that God's creation. But, oh, he's creating in me a new heart. Praise God. And I'm just going to go along with his presence. I'm not going to stop in the middle of it and say, oh, that's enough. It's like a handshake with God. Oh, no, I want to get in there. You know, there's some people. There was a man in a church that I pastored on the East Coast, and he had his own music room. And he had a chair set there, and he had the speakers pointed at him and all the sound system around him. And literally there were hundreds of CDs. And he would get one and he would play it and just sit there and soak in the music and let it do something to him. Amen. I'm telling you what, in that respect, we need to just sit down in the presence of God. Amen. And let God put the CD in. Amen. And let him resonate into our lives. Praise God, the light and the life that he is. Am I making any sense here tonight? Praise God, I hope so. Amen, because being right produces joy. Proverbs 4 and 23. Sister Reed, would you come tonight? Proverbs 4 and 23. Just a nugget of truth here tonight that gives you something, hopefully give you something to meditate about this week. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Let's all stand together right now. Proverbs 4, 23. Keep thy heart. Everybody said, keep thy heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I look at that scripture and I say, keep your heart. Keep your heart clean. Because out of your heart, God wants to produce light. God wants to produce a sound. God wants to produce life that comes from light. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Keep your heart with all diligence. Don't let anything mar your heart. Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. There's an awful lot in scriptures about the heart. We won't go into that here tonight. But God is still the creator. You know what? You can't change your heart. You can't create your own heart. Praise God. You can't say, well, I'm going to become better. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, there's no way that light could be produced by itself. That's a good scripture that defies evolution. It can't do it by itself. Evolution says nothing exploded and everything that we have here is what we are. One person was debating a evolutionist, and the evolutionist said, I believe that nothing exploded and everything evolved. He said, and you have the crazy idea that God created everything. The ridiculous idea that there is a God who created everything. And the other debater said, well, think about what you just said. You just said that out of nothing, everything was created. He said, you say that we come from a rock, and I say we come from God. Now, which one is more sensible? Praise God. I didn't come from a rock. My father was not a monkey. Amen. Or something swinging in a tree somewhere. Or a one-cell amoeba that got lonely, amen, divided, and it became his wife. And they had a family, and the world was created. Foolishness, foolishness, amen. It is the height of atheism, amen. The man that created evolution was an atheist, didn't believe in God. But I'm telling you what, my God created everything that is seen and unseen, according to the Word of God. And the only way that you and I can have a clean heart is if we seek after the face of God and say, God, create in me a new heart. Create in me a clean heart. Amen. Because out of my heart is the issues of life. Praise God. Let's pray together right now.